There appears to be many kinds of or levels of being in the world. With human being as perhaps a manifestation to our own minds as a hierarchical achievement, something better than other forms of being. And I think in some cases that's true. But living in the country, in rural America, I'm exposed to all kinds of being and appreciating their various forms of intelligence, survival, aspiration, often about food, often about safety, often about comfort, willingness to risk things for food, safety, comfort, very similar to us. We have squirrels that we have talked about, I've talked about invading the bird feeder, who are becoming increasingly brazen. They can watch us inside the window eating. They know when we're going to start to make moves on them. They can figure out how massive those moves are going to be, whether we're going to knock on the window, get up, go to the door, actually step outside. They judge all these things, and they make very smart decisions. They know how far to run, how far to hide, how far to go or not go. They're wise beyond our imagination. I watch the flies and the bugs, and I watch the groundhog we have, and I watch the birds, and I watch all of these things that are all making these very smart manipulations. And I watch us as people. And I have to say, some of us are not as smart as the squirrel, or squirrels, or the groundhog. We manipulate things with less effectiveness. We have less interpretation of what's coming at us. We struggle more. We have more to struggle with, possibly. But I look at everybody and I look at the complication of what it means to be a human being and how many people don't really measure up. Just because you're here and alive in a body, a human body, is only the beginning of a journey into becoming a human being. And it's a very, very limited temporary school, if you will. It has duration, not all that long, more than it used to be, but not all that long. It has apparently lessons to be learned, transformations to go through, places to arrive at. But in the end, it's a completely temporary phenomenon. We are here for a limited period of time, if such a thing exists. We are in a body for a period of time. The body transforms continually during that time, sometimes miraculously for all of us. I'm watching my grandchildren. Talia tells me she's starting puberty at 10, and I see it's true. My grandson is announcing feeling things that he hasn't felt before and finding it quite intriguing. His body is evolving, he's growing up. And I'm doing the opposite. I am starting to fall apart in front of your eyes and my own eyes. And it's an amazing experience and very informative. It really talks to us about the core of the Buddhist teaching, which is impermanence. We're here for a short time, maybe to learn stuff, maybe not. Hard to know exactly what this is for, but there are things that happen in the human experience that I would say are enough that make it worth it. And you have to kind of come to understand what that is for you. What makes this enough that you would have chosen to be born into this very odd, endlessly transformative, endlessly complicated and demanding space? And I can't answer that for you. But I have lots of things, that all of which make it worth it. Most of them come down to, interestingly enough, love. You know, I've had a lot of achievement in my life, and I used to think, well, that would make it worth it. It does not. It very much is a past tense experience, something that happened, not unhappy, that achievements happened, but they're past tense. I had family that I've watched evolve and grow and has had beautiful, exciting, wonderful moments and difficult, conflicting, uncomfortable ways of interacting. But within most of my family experience, I was allowed to experience this thing called love. And this love had something to do with the core of human being, or with being itself. This arising of this condition, this experience, this awareness, whenever it occurred, felt like enough. Even if it faded away, knowing that it happened, even a singular time, and it was not a singular time, it has happened over and over and over and over. These moments of love have made me feel this is enough. This was worth it. But part of what's happening in the spiritual journey, if you want to give it that name, of unfolding into my human being, is something akin to ongoing love. Deeper, more sustaining, more expansive, more exquisite, more beautiful than anything I'd ever known before. And as I've experienced that love and experienced an amazing capacity to share it with people, to feel love for people, for every one of you here, and to feel what it's like to love so many people. And I don't mean like you, and I don't mean feel happy that you're here to celebrate me on some level. I love you. I can look at every one of you and say that with honest fullness of expression. I love you. I do. And it's like it has nothing to do with Bruce. Bruce is a bodily form of it, but there is something moving through this bodily form that is experiencing this awareness of profound love for each of you and recognition that each of you is unique, complex, imperfect, and wonderful. Every one of you is all of that. And part of what's been given in this experience of love is this ability to recognize what is remarkable, lovable, and worthy of honor in each of you. And there's none of you that are here or anywhere that don't have that. I will tell you, when you arrive here, on Zoom or in person, that expression of arrival makes this love very, very easy to share. And if you're sitting there going, does he love me more than this one or that one? The answer is no. No. The love is powerful and full, and it recognizes how amazingly unique, special, and wonderful you are. You could put people in front of me, however, who would not be recipients of that love without enormous effort on my part. And there are a massive number of those people. You see them all the time, and you know, for me to open up and love that person will take every ounce of energy I have, because they present nothing lovable, nothing open, nothing engaging, nothing reaching out, nothing that cares about anything but their complex little daily drama. And they do not give you openings. Are they impossible to gain access to? No. Is it worth it? Maybe. Will they hold on to the love that you share with them? Probably not. So if you want to understand a gradation of what it means to be a human being, the elevated form of human being is open to that love. The part of a human being that cannot open to that love is not much more wise or intelligent or worthy of it than the squirrels outside. You may have achieved a human body. You may have achieved something that resembles a human, but you have yet to become human. You are still in process, if you will. And it is a long, hard process. You know, the Buddhists talk about many lifetimes. I don't have a true sense of how that works, but it would make sense to me that the evolution of a being, a spirit, is really hard. It takes a great deal of commitment from that spirit and the guiding force that gave it life. And there is a dance, a dialogue, an interaction between these forces that allow for this arising, this energetic reaction to being that allows you to move further and further into what it means to just be. And there comes a point, I think, maybe, where even the definition human is no longer really serviceable, because you become something else. I think there's a term spiritual being, but it doesn't work for me. I don't think there's any kind of codifiers around being. There just is being. And what happens is you, the person, the human who contains being, starts to waft away. Now, I will tell you, you all seem to know this, at some point that will actually happen. The container of your being is going to erode, fall apart, painfully probably, for me, and it will finally go away. Will the being remain? If I were a betting man, I would say yes. Being will continue. It will live infinitely, eternally, and take endless forms. How and the why, and is there really a school of graduational possibility? Makes sense to me. But I can tell you on my own journey right now, as I'm starting to move beyond what I would call the limited idea of human being, not that my body isn't human and not that it isn't disintegrating in front of you, but something else is happening. And that thing that is happening is an awakening to something that cannot be contextualized at all. It just is. It is right now. It is all the time, as long as there is time. It's simply present. And as I describe to you pretty much weekly, that presence is I would call it a continuum, but it finds itself somehow or another in the yin-yang universe of presence versus absence. And I don't know what lies beneath that. I call it nothing. But presence and absence are very powerful forces and addictive. Presence is attractive. Absence is detractive. It takes you away. And if you are caught in the bind of attraction to presence, even if it's a brilliant, beautiful, spiritual, loving presence, you will very likely suffer its demise. And I hate to announce this to you, but it's something that you hear all the time and know, it is going to be taken away. It will all be taken away. And the nothingness that will replace presence, the absence that replaces presence, is to the human being an amazing loss. It is beyond understanding. It is such a state of despondency and despair to be absent of presence. And yet, for reasons that I'm only starting to understand, there's a dance between having presence and not having it, losing it. You may have started to experience that a little bit, you may not have, but it is the ultimate state because everything is taken. Everything. Preparing for the everything to be taken, which makes sense because it's going to be that happening, it's inevitable. Not to prepare for it sounds stupid, has to do with what Rudy taught us, which is surrender, detachment. Let go of your hunger for that presence. Not that you shouldn't honor it, enjoy it, love it as it arises, but don't cling to it because it will slip through your fingers. And what will come as a result is nothing will replace it. You will be left with nothing. And you will go, how did I live this whole life? I was a good person. I was this, I was that. And how do they take that away from me? Well, partly because it never really existed. It arose in the moment, in time, and your mind, your brilliant mind, wove it together as a narrative, a story about you, which molecularly and spiritually and biologically became a living presence. You became a person. You became a human being. It is an amazing thing to be a human being, but it is a temporary thing, and it houses something even greater. And that greater thing happens when you let go of the story of what it means to be you and start to recognize that you just is the thing that's happening. That's all you are. You're the thing that's happening right now. And now you're sitting in this room with other people, sitting on a Zoom call from God knows from your own homes, I assume, and you are experiencing what's happening. That's all you've ever done with it. From day one in your whole life is experience what's happening, and you wove it together into a past, a present, and a future, and you made it a story and a life that had some kind of purpose, longevity, it had impact on others, it had impact on yourself, and your mind is still weaving that story together, and your emotions are part of that story, and what you felt and what you didn't feel, and who did you right and who did you wrong, and what could have been and what should have been and what might have been, and all of this stuff is weaving together in a kind of continuum that makes you think of past, present, future, and gives you a sense of being, of human being, of presence. And yet the truth is not in that story. It's not in the narrative. The truth is you are the something where this all arises, where this all happens. It keeps happening. I don't care what you do about it. It keeps happening until you're not here. And then we don't even know. Maybe it keeps happening. But it's the happening and the recognition of that happening that makes us feel alive, human, and special in a way, in our own way. In this journey of happening, we tend to be very outer directed into the manifested world in which it's happening. And we get very imbalanced and lost in that world because it's so endlessly in transformation. And if we're lucky, we get wounded, we get awakened, we get turned inward into something inside that hurts or welcomes us. It can be any number of things. to this place of stillness, massive awareness, pure being, welcoming, and it allows us to observe the happening from a safe quietude. When you look at your own human being and you go, wow, you realize it's a dance, comes and goes, it keeps changing, has good moments, bad moments, it's all this stuff, but you find this space inside that just goes, that's called being. You just discover being. The human part is kind of the outside part, the squirrel part, the dog part, the cat part. That's the outer. The inner is this exquisite state of being. Now, like I've said, that being has its own manifested element. Part of it is presence and part of it is absence. And it reduces down into something I keep labeling nothing at all. Absolute nothing. Learning to journey into nothing takes what would be called surrender. Let go, let go, let go. Watch even the comfort and the simplicity and the balance fade away and go into this state with no reaction to it. That's hard. That's the presence, that's the work that we do, the practice. Let go, let go, let go. And you begin to experience nothing, which is not love, it's not presence, it's not absence, it's no story, there's no you, there's nothing. And if you can enter nothing, which is vaguely terrifying to the human mind, being, but if you can enter it, and you will at some point, and surrender to it, and sit in nothing, the miracle that I have witnessed, and I believe we will all witness, is the arrival in nothing of love. I do not understand it. I don't know why it happens. It is the beginning of creation. It's the beginning of birth, but it starts with love, and it rises up and fills the space, the time frame, the reality that is, and it manifests a new universe, a new life, a new whatever, including a new you, which keeps coming out of nothing. Assuming it keeps coming, I'm going to buy into that. If it doesn't keep coming, and you can learn to just give yourself over to timeless, spaceless nothing, that will be better than the drama of having that self that you believe in so strongly, this mind-centered, emotional-centered life, thinking it is something, taken away. It's what happens. You know, I did this movie called Jacob's Ladder, which is exactly about that. It's the Bardo state, the states you go into as you watch everything taken away. And it's confusing beyond belief. It's dramatic. It's full of stuff. And in the end, as the character of Louis, the chiropractor, says, and he quotes Meister Eckhart, one of the great theologians of the 1600s, he says, if you're afraid of dying, becoming nothing, you see demons tearing you away from yourself, basically. And if you're open, there are angels freeing you. You guys are all angels. You're in the presence of angels. You are learning what it means to be angelic being. You're learning what it means to free yourself of the drama. Is this meaningful and important? You know, they don't care. It doesn't care. But I will tell you, it's an amazing journey to care. And it's an amazing journey to do the work, because you get to be alive and human and in the world and, in a sense, aware that it's nothing. It's free. It doesn't matter. Just be. You start to find those moments that are worth it. You start to find the joy of matter and being and caring. And they're just little moments, grace notes of life. But you find them and you start to have a full life that you, because of your training, background, inner gifts, you allow to happen with consciousness and clarity, and you watch it come and you watch it go, and you learn to not get stuck in one or the other and just be. So your own human being evolves into being itself, just being. And being, to repeat myself, is presence and emptiness and nothing. And here we are. And we can talk about this every week, which I do, because it takes a while for the mind to go, oh, I get it. Because the mind is so busy with stuff. And it doesn't get easier. Yesterday, I lost my wallet. Anybody who's ever lost a wallet, next to losing your phone, is probably the biggest drama that you can, one of the biggest dramas you can go through, because it's your identity, it's everything that means anything, all the phone calls of, you know, new credit cards, new everything, you know, it's really horrible. And and I went through probably a good hour or two of real suffering and real pain and attachment and trying to relive the day and where could I have lost it and getting it down to exactly the right places and calling those places. No, they hadn't found it. And and then finally something happened. Among other things, my cousin Barbara arrived here and we started just talking. And I didn't want to bring my misery into the human dimension here. So we just talked. It was wonderful. And I just like, I went, oh, well, you know, we'd already canceled 2 credit cards. I got a new, healthcare card. And I'm sitting talking to Barbara and my butt hurts. And it really hurts. And I don't know why it hurts. And finally, I reach into my butt and there's my wallet. I never put my wallet in my back pocket. It's always in my side pocket. And the whole universe opened up again into wonder and joy and love and perfection. And it was like it was never otherwise except in my brain. My brain was completely lost in the loss. And it was such a lesson. And it was such a great teaching for me. And in the end, I at that point was willing to let it go. Blanche was brilliant. She went immediately to all the credit card people and started making the calls without being angry at me, which is like, that is true love. And we really, really got to a point where all of this drama unfolded and it ended with nothing having happened, except there. That is human life. Being is rising out of that. But you will not get a chance to rise out of it without putting your wallet in the wrong pocket. You've got to go through these stupid events in life in order to get trained in this process. We all go through it. Nobody is immune to it. I suspect Guru went through it. You know, everybody is human. Everybody suffers in their own crazy way. And then we find solace in our own way. Some people experience real loss and real grief and they don't come back. You really do lose your wallet. You really do have to start rebuilding all that stuff. Welcome to life in planet Earth. That's what this is. We're all learning, we're all here doing, but I will tell you the benefit of learning to surrender and let go is to realize that is going to be your ultimate practice, your ultimate tool in extracting yourself from this plane of existence. And if you get it down, you will live a better life and you will leave it with greater grace and dignity. So welcome to human being, welcome to being, welcome to stupidity, welcome to the world of stuff and matter, and also the world of depth and truth and beauty that embodies all the stuff that gets manifested. So week by week, I will indulge you in this. As soon as you get it, as soon as you get what I'm talking about, you don't need to show up at all. It's like, how many times do you need to hear it? But it does come across with a certain authenticity. And sometimes, because I've been sitting with this for 50 years, you keep needing to hear it. So make yourself available, come practice, do the work, free yourself, and then be that presence, be that being that will help others do this. And then you serve a wonderful purpose in this world, it proves to be a good life. Thank you. Any questions, George?
No, I sat through some of my son's recommended Buddhist teachings on Dojo and the secret thing in the end is love and compassion. Because without love, compassion is always developed.
Absolutely. And compassion for others and for yourself. But, you know, I've discovered it's easier to love everybody but me. So I've had to keep learning to turn that inward. And that's really been a recent practice for me in big ways, because my mind starts to take over stuff.
There's two quotations.
Go for it.
Sure. One of the Dalai Lama says, 2 days you should forget in the year is yesterday and tomorrow. And the other one is, when you're looking out, you're dreaming. When you're looking in, you go away. It's Carl Jung.
I believe that's true. My sense of it is the dreamer is the looking in being. That's the dreamer of all this. And I am experiencing truly, and I've described it, the loss of my own story. It isn't resonating at all. I don't look back into my past. Future is not clear or present or interesting to me. So all I have is this. And if this gets filled with me and Blanche having lunch together, it's really joyful. If it gets filled with a lost wallet, that's not pleasurable, but it's all part of the dreamscape. If your wife helps you get on the phone immediately and call people, then this dream is a better dream. If she fights you and yells, you're so stupid, why did you do that? And you blame yourself and go through all that, welcome to hell. That's where many people live. But if you're doing it right, it all finds its way. And this simple journey, get rid of tomorrow, get rid of yesterday, show up to this, it will work itself out, be present, follow the dictates of your own heart, if you will, your own GPS. Life is amazing. It really is amazing. And that's what we're here to witness for whatever reason, and to witness it well. I have realized through Daniel, through you, through others, that I have become a true kind of Buddhist in a way. That wasn't really my path exactly. I mean, I've always loved Buddha and Buddhism and Hinduism and even Christianity and Judaism. And, you know, and I'm not really a Muslim. I don't know that.
Different paths, different path to the same place.
All to the same place. But really, it is the simplest of things. Love, compassion, kindness, goodness for others, for yourself. Welcome to the club. Anybody out there in Zoom land? Such brilliant souls. I appreciate every bit of it. Sal. Well, hold on, I got Sal.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, perhaps you can say something like this. Is, you know, I've gone through my whole life and things like, you know, nothingness and being in consciousness, kind of, you know, in some limited way, kind of sense of those. One thing I still don't get is this whole notion of bliss. You know, I have no idea what that is. I see no need for it. I'm just wondering if you could say something about
bliss. I think it's a great sales pitch. I think bliss is the thing that gets a lot of people on the spiritual path. And I think you will taste moments of it. And we may even end in bliss. I don't know. But I have had bliss. And every time it comes, I think, well, I'm there. I've done it. And then, like everything else, it's temporary. It goes away. And I go, what did I do wrong? How do I get there? And first of all, the biggest problem is, how do I get it? Because the I is the problem. I is a separation from reality. I is a momentary manifestation. Reality is infinite. So the I that wants something is really causing problems. So bliss may be there mostly when you get rid of I. Yes. And that was blissful. It was blissful. But I will also tell you, I did not hold on to that. Yeah. I was really grateful. I just loved it. Thank you.
Well, I think right back from today's talk from you is that it's in the pieces that occur.
Yeah. Every day. It keeps happening. every day, something. Beautiful, horrible, terrible. It just goes on and on and on. It will forever. I don't know who was asking the question here. You're welcome.
Bruce?
Yes.
I actually went to church last Sunday. I haven't been for a long, long time. And the text for the day was from one of Paul's letters, and where Christ is saying, "My power is made perfect in your weakness." And I immediately thought of you and your vulnerability and how you make it all real because you are real. And that's what you help us all be, is more real.
Well, and Dale, I know you too, so you do the same thing for many people. And you know, I know from teaching that the energy goes to vulnerability. It goes to the place in a person that is most vulnerable. And the wonderful thing about the teaching is it's kind of so quiet and almost hidden that most people don't know what's coming in. They're not defended or directly. If it was coming in a massive outside way, they'd have all their defenses working, but I can go in through the back door, the side door, under the armpit. There's so many ways to get in. And you help people through their vulnerability become less vulnerable. Not vulnerable in a sense of weakness, but vulnerable in a sense that they are not able to fully express their lives. So it really does help. And we're all weak, we're all human, and we're all on our way to go from human to the next level, which is move away from the human and just be. It's really interesting to do that. Anyone else? Okay, this was a full class. Thank you guys, I appreciate your being here. See California guys next week. See all of you in 2 weeks.